Our text for this morning's meditation is from the Gospel of Matthew. These words, "You have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day." So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the doctrine, the teaching of once saved, always saved, popular among many Christians today, insists that once a person comes to faith in Christ, he or she will always believe in Christ and will never, ever fall away from that faith. So it is obvious immediately, of course, as to why such a false doctrine, false teaching, would be so popular. It removes any worry from the Christian conscience that somehow something will happen in a Christian's life so that they indeed will fall away from Christ. And yet, in view of our three readings for this morning, the challenge of the Christian life is evident. The challenge of life itself, the hardships of life, even for those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ. In the gospel reading, for example, the Christian life is described as a life of bearing with the heat of the day. Now, if you've ever had a job when you've had to do that, to work from sun up through 3 or 4 in the afternoon in the middle of summer, you have experienced what the workers in the gospel reading were complaining about. After all, it is not easy to work in such conditions, bearing the heat of the day. In the epistle reading, Christian life is described as the life of an athlete, life of training, life of discipline, with the goal of competing and competing successfully against others, that is, competing to win. The Old Testament reading situation was that of the wilderness wandering of the Israelites. The Israelites, who, having been rescued from their slavery in wealthy and prosperous Egypt, where they had everything they needed, found themselves in the middle of a wilderness as harsh as the wild Wyoming or Idaho or Utah, without the most basic substance needed for life, and that is water. How would they survive and continue to survive in such harsh conditions without water? So, summing up, our three readings this morning present the Christian life as being like working in the hot sun throughout the day, like disciplining ourselves as athletes do so that we may compete successfully, and like trudging through a wilderness without water to drink. Not a pretty picture, any of them, really. But the point is clear. As Christians, we will be faced with hardships, and those hardships will demand from us some sort of response. Some sort of response when it comes to faith, faith in Christ our Savior. Are we going to simply, when something happens, throw in the towel and say, "That's it for me"? I was all about following Christ and following Him every day, religiously, as long as I thought that nothing would happen to me if it did, or if I did, and that I would not have to make any effort whatsoever when it came to faith. I mean, faith, my faith, it's a gift from God, right? Faith, like Ephesians, by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not your own doing, it's a gift of God. Now, the point of having been given faith, faith in Christ as a gift by God, that's a good one, isn't it? Our faith is a gift from God. Because it's not like having been given a gift by God, that's all there is to it. But the point is, what do we do? What do we do with the gift that we receive? And that's always the point when it comes to gifts. What do we do with them? What do we do with what somebody has given to us as a gift? Regifting. Regifting. Popular nowadays, isn't it? That is, taking a gift that someone has given us, and instead of using it in some way ourselves, we give it away. We re-gift it. That is, we give it as a gift to someone else. And, you know, sometimes I think that is what happens with Christian faith itself. What do I mean? Well, it is not uncommon for parents, having been given the gift of faith by God, then passing on that gift of faith to their children, but then they themselves not using that gift, not using that gift of faith at all. For example, whole families sometimes stop going to church after their children have been confirmed. The thinking, the faith has been passed on. It's been regifted, as it were. The parents' job is done. But what then about the faith of the parents? What about their faith? You see, when we understand faith to be a free gift of God created within us at our baptisms, or when we first heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can think of faith like the talents in the parable of Jesus in Matthew 25, in which one servant is given five talents, another two, and another one. After a time, then, the servant with five had used the five to make more talents, and so also the servant with two. And the one who had been given one talent, well, what did he do? You remember, he buried it. He buried that one talent so that he could give it back to the master when he requested it. Now, is that what we're going to do with the faith that's been gifted to us when Christ returns? Having buried it our entire lives, are we just going to hand it back to Jesus on the last day? For it is true that each and every one of us are given a different amount of faith. We're all given a different amount of faith. Luther compared the differing amounts of faith among Christians to the differing strength between the arm of a strong man and an elderly woman, both of whom holding on to a bag of coins. Obviously, the strong man had a tighter grip. The bag of coins, our salvation in Jesus Christ. And whether we hold on to that salvation with a weak grip or a strong grip, with weak faith or strong faith, we're still holding on to our salvation. We are still saved. We still have eternal life. But faith not exercised, faith not used, faith not applied and put into action, does indeed grow weak. And what is more, it can. Here we can think of King Saul and David's plea after he was brought to realize how sinful he had been by committing adultery with Bathsheba and then murdering her husband. "Cast me not away from thy presence," David pleaded with God, "and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Why did he say this? Because of what he had done. So the last verse of our Old Testament reading, "Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." We forget that of the hundreds of thousands of Israelites, maybe millions that were rescued from slavery in Egypt, of the adults that were freed from Egypt, only two, that is Joshua and Caleb, made it into the promised land. Why? What happened to the rest? They could not bear the heat of the day. They did not want to exercise their faith. They did not want to discipline themselves in any way. And they doubted that God would care for them as they entered the promised land and faced the people in the cities that were there. Oh, for a strong faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, for a powerful faith which believes the promises of God in Jesus Christ. Oh, for a living faith, which daily seeks to live believing that which it cannot see, and serving those it can see in love. Now, faith, we read in Hebrews 11, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, and that is the challenge. That's the challenge when it comes to exercising our faith. For if we are to exercise our bodies, what we need to do so, well, that's clear. The track is right there in front of us to run on, the pool to swim in, the weights to lift, the machines to use, the stationary bicycle. If we want to make ourselves stronger physically, what we must do is very, very, very easy to see. But what about the assurance and conviction of faith? What about belief in something that cannot be seen? How is that strengthened? The answer for us is found in Hebrews as well. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The answer? Setting aside our sin. That is a start. A start to the strengthening of our faith. Now, why is that? Why is that? Because sin, in its essence, is nothing other than a lack of faith. That is what sin is. We do things we should not do because we do not believe what God has told us about them. And we do not do the things we should do for the same reason. We don't believe. So the first commandment, you shall have no other gods. What does this mean? It means that we need to believe. We should fear and love and trust in God above all things. Fear, love, and trust in God above all things. That is, we should believe what God says to us, about us, and who we are. That we're made in his image, and that we are stewards of his creation in which he placed us, and that what we have done turning our backs on him is not what we should have done. And so what does he do? He turns his face towards us in his son Jesus Christ, willingly sacrificing him on the cross for us, for our sin, so that we could live each day in faith. We could live each day in faith. And in faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, be able to bear the challenges and troubles that we face throughout our lives. That is the heat of the day. No, those troubles and challenges are not because we lack faith. Yes, those troubles and challenges are the ways by which our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is exercised, and it is strengthened, and it is fortified. For it is easy to believe in our Savior Jesus and all that he has done for us when the going is easy. It is when the going is hard where we realize that faith really is the assurance of that which we hope and the conviction of that which we cannot see. So the children of Israel and their wandering. So the Christian life that always looks forward to an eternity in a heavenly home in hope and is convinced daily of the forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation that is ours in Jesus Christ. That is what it means, again, to bear the heat of the day. This is the work of God, our Savior taught us. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Christian life is not one of seeing. The Christian life is one of believing. I mean, that's the essence of faith, isn't it? For if we see that which we believe, it's no longer faith. Challenging, therefore, can be our life from day to day to day, living simply in faith. That is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. That state itself in which we live as Christians can be a challenge. But we know that. And Scripture itself is full of examples of it, as we read in Hebrews 11. So let's not get discouraged. Let's not get discouraged. Our troubles, our challenges, our sufferings, spiritual workouts. That's what they are. Take that home today. Spiritual workouts. How's it going today? I'm having a spiritual workout. It's a good one. It's a long one. But that's what the troubles and challenges and sufferings we face as Christians are. Because it's at those points that our faith is being strengthened so that we can indeed continue to live in the heat of the day. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.